Hey, this is Stacey Gatsoulias.
DC Lundberg.
Ryan Finkelstein.
Taylor Blake Ward.
Host of Locked On Yankees.
Locked On Mariners.
Locked On Mets.
Locked On Angels.
And you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Locked On Braves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network and part of the Tegna Group, along with our friends at the Odyssey Group, the Locked On Podcast Network, bringing you a whole smorgasbord of different shows covering all of the sports that you know and love, covering all of the teams that you know and love. Sometimes you just don't have the time to really dig into those teams or your favorite sports as much as you'd like. Well, now you don't have to worry. All you got to do is follow along with your favorite Locked On Podcast hosts, and they can keep you up to date with everything you need in order to rule the roost, so to speak, when it comes to your fandom. It's time to fan the way you want to fan. All you got to do is like and subscribe to your favorite Locked On Podcast shows on whatever your favorite platform is, whether that's iTunes, Spotify, Pandora, whatever. Just like and subscribe, and you can be kept up to date whenever a new episode drops, and you can show off just how smart you are. Locked On Podcast Network, bringing you your teams every single day. All right, so the Braves are able to finish out the game last night and win 5-4. Bullpen wasn't great, but was just good enough. Max Fried, not his typical best stuff, but when facing Washington, typically he struggles pretty mightily against Washington. So last night was actually a pretty good day for him. Went six innings. He did give up seven hits, and that was kind of the name of the game. As the Nationals, if you're one of those guys that's been looking for a way to explain to people why baseball is the way it is now, why hitters are so obsessed with extra base hits and home runs, last night was a perfect example. Washington literally doubled the Braves in hits. Unfortunately, most of their hits were singles, or fortunately for us, unfortunately for them, most of their hits were singles. As a matter of fact, they had one, two, three extra base hits yesterday. Nine singles. And whenever you're a singles-hitting ball club, you have to string together more hits in order to score runs. And nowadays, when everybody throws 100 miles an hour, or pitchers are far better across the board, maybe not at the top end where there's always been people who could throw harder, but the average everyday pitcher are all far more talented than they were in previous generations, then it gets harder and harder to string those types of hits together. So this is why you see teams and players start, you know, trying to make their hits count. They've already accepted the fact that you're just not going to see many guys that hit 330, 340, or even 320 anymore. So you need to make the most of your hits. You have to make the most of your at-bats in order to score runs, which is the name of the game. Chasing your own stats, ideally, is considered not all that great. It's considered very selfish, and the name of the game is to win. So the Braves were able to do that because they were able to get in their six hits, they were able to get three extra base hits. That is a 50% rate. So same amount of extra base hits as the Phillies, six less hits. Braves win 5-4. Now that is thanks to a home run, a two-run homer by Ozzie Albies, and then another home run by Adam Duvall, who had a two-run homer himself, Austin Riley with the other RBI of the day. And that's good news for this Braves offense. Now, I know it's Washington, and they were throwing Patrick Corbin. The Braves struggled against Patrick Corbin for most of it. The final line for Corbin really doesn't illustrate how many problems he gave the Braves in early on in that game. The first five innings for Corbin were like a breeze. I think he got through the first four innings without even without throwing 50 pitches. It was absolutely insane. Sixth inning, though, when he had to face the lineup third time through, gave up two home runs, five strikeouts for him on the day, and only one walk, but had five earned runs and five hits as well. So it was a thing of fives across the board. And then some creative player named Gabe Klobosits, who is a big, big dude, he came in for two innings, and he did a pretty good job for them. But back to Max Fried, because that's where all this started. I have been maintaining, you guys know me by now, you guys know that I am a Max Fried guy, and I still think Max Fried is the guy on the pitching staff. Maybe there's a couple guys who might be able to take that throne for him, but from right now, I think Max Fried is the guy that if you're looking for one of these Braves young pitchers, and Max is still young, to kind of become one of the quote-unquote big three types, I think Max is your easiest bet. He's a guy that has premium velocity, doesn't have to use it. He's got outstanding movement. He's got an outstanding breaking ball. He's got a full repertoire. He's got four pitches. He's probably got five or six, but he has four that he feels comfortable throwing in games. He's got the right demeanor on the mound. He's an excellent fielder as well, as we saw that a few times yesterday. I think Max is the type of guy that if you're looking for somebody to really take hold of the Braves ace pitching prospect label, or the quote, or an actual ace label, Max is your guy. Maybe Ian potentially down the line. I do have a little bit of questions with guys who have really over-the-top arm angles, as far as if they're off, then all of a sudden things can go very badly. But Max is a guy consistently that I think has shown the potential to be one of the best pitchers in all of baseball, not just that we've seen for the Braves in a while. But he has had this tendency to struggle against Washington. Now, that's not all that surprising. Washington, for a long time, has had a lot of really good hitters against left-handed pitching. I mean, Starlin Castro, say what you will about him, he's a horrible person, but was able to mash lefties. Bryce Harper, obviously, we've seen what he can do against lefties. I mean, there's been a whole host of them. Juan Soto mashes lefties. Trey Turner obviously mashes anybody, but especially mashed lefties. The Braves have had, over the course of time, against their time versus Washington, they faced a really good lineup, and Max has struggled against them. He hasn't been great against Philadelphia, but he's had a few really good outings, and it seemed like Washington always manages to beat him up pretty good. Well, yesterday, he wasn't at his best, but for him facing Washington, that was one of the best starts I've seen from him against them in a while, and it pushes his ERA under 4. Now he's sitting at 3.91 with a 1.31 whip. The whip is still high. The ERA is higher than Max should be throwing. We know how good Max can be. But it's yet another step in the right direction for Max Fried. And it was a lot of soft contact. As I said, 7 hits yesterday off of him. They had 3 extra base hits total out of 12. So overall, you can live giving up singles. I don't really care if you give up 8 hits. If they're all singles, then they're not going to score a lot of runs against you. And that's the name of the game. It's not about no hitting them all the time. And when you take a look at Max's StatCast data, it's not nearly as good as it was in 2020. But he still has some really good things. The exit velocity against him is in the 89th percentile. He's not getting whiffs this year at the rates that you would expect. The fastball spin and the curveball spin are down a little bit. Actually, the curveball spin might be up a touch. No, down about 3 percentile points. So the main thing, and I've said this before, that I think Max was a guy that used rosin and sweat a lot, and I think that's messing with him a good bit, especially when it comes to his ability to control that breaking ball. So he doesn't have the prettiest StatCast line right now, but he's making it work. He does that by not giving up a ton of barrels. 6.8% this year. It is the highest of his career, which, again, kind of points to exactly what I was saying, that I think that he was a rosin and sweat type of guy. But a lot of his numbers aren't that bad and really right in line or better than what he's really doing. I mean, his XERA is a little bit higher, but I don't use expected stats. We'll talk about that at a different portion of the show. But overall, good win by the Braves. They needed it to happen. They need to keep pace with the Phillies, who, luckily for them, have been playing a bunch of garbage teams, and they were able to beat the Mets, who've been Metsing themselves. So we'll see what happens coming up. The Braves get ready to start a 3-game set versus Cincinnati tomorrow night. They have an off day today, as the Phillies get ready to play the Dodgers. So the Braves are looking at this series with an eye towards first, as they are 2 back of Philadelphia, and this is a very, very good opportunity for the Braves to make some inroads in the division and maybe even swipe that lead if they're able to handle Cincinnati. Looking at the matchups that are coming forward, looks like you're going to have Sonny Gray versus Drew Smyly. Then you're going to have, on Wednesday, as you guys can hear my dog barking here, you'll have Wade Miley versus Touki Toussaint. Wade Miley, as you will famously remember me saying, was on the Cardinals. That was Wade LeBlanc. Different Wade. And then in the final game on Thursday, you will see Vladimir Gutierrez versus Kyle Muller. And this will be a very interesting series for the Braves. The Cincinnati Reds, they can get into really bad hitting spells. Now, they can also get into spells where they just crush you. But, you know, there's good opportunity for the Braves here, and I think they'll take advantage of it. But we're going to go ahead and take our first break. When we come back, we're going to dig into some things on StatCast data, and Will Smith in particular, about why it is that I cannot stand watching him trying to be the quote-unquote closer of this team. So don't go anywhere, and we will be right back after this right here on Locked On Braves. Today's episode is brought to you by Stat Hero. Did you know 85% of people who play daily fantasy sports lose? Is it really that surprising? The game is rigged against you. You're playing against thousands of other lineups, not to mention experts, who have more tools and more time. You don't stand a chance. Well, now you do. Introducing Stat Hero, it's the first ever daily fantasy sports book that puts the player in control and winning within reach. Here's how it works. Stat Hero shows you their lineups and dares you to beat them. It is you versus the house in a head-to-head fantasy matchup, no having to beat other players. You name the stakes. Winner takes all. You have the advantage. Stat Hero is showing you their lineups ahead of time. No one else does that for you. you are in total control. Stat Hero is daily fantasy sports the way it was meant to be. One-on-one, mono or womano versus computer. Play Stat Hero now and change the odds. Go to stathero.com/lockedon, sign up for free, and right now you can get 3 times back on your first play. They're giving you a 300% match. That is unheard of. Just to go to stathero.com/lockedon. That's stathero.com/lockedon. Welcome back to Locked On Braves. Having to go fairly quickly today as I left a little too, not quite enough time as I was anticipating today. So having a little bit of technical problems here. Hopefully this segment will go very smoothly. So what I wanted to talk about this segment is something that a lot of people in Braves Twitter are very divided on, and that is Will Smith as a closer. Now, if you were to just look at Will Smith's numbers, you would say, oh, he's done a really good job as the closer this year. Well, if you're somebody that has watched every game, you know that the visual experience, the actual watching of it, does not seem to support that. That it is very rare, for me anyway, and for a lot of other fans, to feel comfortable when Will Smith is on the mound, especially if it's, like, say, a one-run game. Now, if you were to just look at his base stats, really, you'd think, well, we probably shouldn't be all that worried. He's got a 3.63 ERA, which is a little bit higher than you like to see, but a 3.33 FIP, it's not bad. The xERA is nicer, but as I told you guys, expected stats are absolutely useless when viewed in a vacuum. They're literally only used to reinforce a point that you already want to make. But he's been worth a full win. He's actually on pace to do better than he did in 2019. His numbers aren't quite as good, but he's had 44 and two-thirds innings, and you know, he's got, for the most part, he's got 22 saves already. He's blown three, I believe. 22 saves. He's 3-6 on the record, so I wouldn't say that he's got... I mean, I don't know if that counts as 6 blown saves. I would count that as 6 blown saves. But it just hasn't been a great experience watching, I'll say this way. The strikeouts are over 10 per 9, which is nice. It's still pretty significantly lower than it was in 2019. Walk rate's under 3, which is not bad either. The homers per 9 are way far down from what they were a year ago, more in line with this 2019. They're actually lower than they were in 2019. The BABIP is 279, which is not very high at all. Certainly not one of the highest of his career. It just hasn't looked the same. Now, the ground ball rate is plummeting, and that is not a good sign because Will Smith, one of the things that makes it so dangerous for me when I watch him is if he makes a mistake, it's a home run ball. And this is why when you'll see people, myself included, get into arguments about why Richard Rodriguez is a better reliever than Will Smith in the year of 2021. He was in 2020 as well. Richard Rodriguez is trending up, and Will Smith is trending down. Now, there's a few different reasons that cause this big divide. StatCast is number one. Now, StatCast, you're not going to have me say anything bad about StatCast. StatCast is fantastic. I think it is revolutionary for the way that common fans are able to get in the minds of what GMs like to do and what front offices look for in players. I think they do a phenomenal job with that. As far as, and as well as giving you the statistical data that front offices are using, and making it to where it's pretty easy to figure out why they're using it, and it's very easy to explain what each stat is talking about now. Everybody is doing this. FanGraphs made this all the rage too. But the problem when you have all of this data at your fingertips is you forget to actually look at the game, and you just go by raw data. And sometimes that works out well, but I keep saying, and anybody anywhere involved with the game who knows what they're talking about anyway, will tell you that it needs to be a marriage of both. The eye test is not foolproof. StatCast data itself is not foolproof. Otherwise, front offices would never make a mistake with a signing ever because you have statistics for literally everything. It needs to be a marriage of both. And there are extenuating circumstances that can float different numbers, just as well as the way that different pitchers throw and different ways that everybody's ball looks coming out of their hand can influence a lot of different things. So when you look at Will Smith's StatCast page, it's really not bad. The average exit velocity is 67th percentile. That's above average, but not great. The max exit velocity is very bad, which means when he gets hit very hard. The hard hit data is not good either. 44th percentile means he's giving up way too much hard contact. That's below average. But his X stats are very nice. For ex-WABA, which is expected weighted on base average, 87th percentile. Expected ERA, 87th percentile. Expected batting average, 80th percentile. Expected slugging, 79th percentile. I don't see that happening. It's one of the reasons why I really don't like expected stats, because there's far too many variables to break down why this should happen, why it shouldn't happen. The other great ones for him, the best thing that he has going for him right now is the 94th percentile in chase rate. He gets a lot of chases, namely on that slider. The whip percentage is in the 72nd percentile, again, above average. Walk percentage is 59th percentile, so I'll call that average. But here's where things get bad for him and why I am never comfortable watching him as a closer and why it seems like he never has clean innings. His fastball velocity is 40th percentile. He throws about 92, 93. Fastball spin is 44th percentile. That's not good, because fastballs that don't spin, you can't really play up in the zone with. And that's the name of the game now, is fastballs up in the zone with high spin give an appearance of a rising fastball. Hitters aren't able to get on plane with it because they think it's going to be lower than it actually is, and it induces weak pop-ups, or they swing and miss. So a low spin fastball is not what you want to see, especially if you play with it up in the zone. So if you don't have premium command, having a low spin fastball can lead to some pretty rough outings. And here's the other kicker. The curve spin for him is in the 8th percentile. That is very not good, and this was not the case back when the sticky stuff was allowed, so you can kind of hazard a guess about what's going on there. But when you don't have good curve spin either, it doesn't give you a very sharp break. It's more of a looper, which gives hitters ample opportunity to look at it. Now, the slider has been a more important pitch to him anyway than the curveball. He doesn't throw the curve a ton. He really only throws it about 10% of the time. Slider, he throws 38, close to 39% of the time. He's mainly a fastball pitcher. Now, I've said before, I don't really care if you're a two-pitch pitcher. I care if you don't have the actual swing and miss ability on it, because that's what allows you to get away with mistakes as well. That's what allows that single fastball for a guy like Richard Rodriguez, who we're about to talk about, to play up and be better than it is. And speaking of Richard Rodriguez, if you look at Richard Rodriguez's StatCast data and you only look at a select few types of indicators, which a lot of people fall into this trap, I do it myself too, so I'm not trying to upset anybody, but when you only look, like what we're trained to look at is average exit velocity and then the X stats, and then we look at whiff percentage, K percentage, and chase rates. But that's not the whole story. That works for a broad spectrum, but people seemingly forget that there's outliers in everything, and that when you're looking at data for a particular player, you need to bear in mind that particular player's style, what they do. And if it's somebody who's on extreme, like Richard Rodriguez, who throws 87% fastballs, he's a fastball slider pitcher, just so you can quantify that number. He has thrown 546 fastballs this season compared to 81 sliders. You know what he's throwing. He's throwing a fastball, and he's still been outstanding. But the difference here, when you look at the page data, the average exit velocity is 14th percentile. That, on its surface, that's horrible. I'll talk about why it's not nearly as bad as you think it is, but the max exit velocity is in the 61st percentile. So while that means when people, he gives up more hard contact than a lot of other hitter and a lot of other pitchers, but he is a lot better at keeping it up at a certain level than other pitchers as well. And there is a real reason for this. His hard hit percentage is in the 20th percentile. Again, he throws almost 90% fastballs. Logically speaking, it makes sense that he has higher exit velocities against him because he's throwing harder pitches more often than most other relievers. And if you like getting into the X stats here are better for him than they are for Will Smith. Now, I don't care about X stats, I've told you. But the X WABA, 91st percentile. X ERA, 91st percentile. Expected batting average, 82nd percentile. The expected slugging, 64th percentile. Barrel percentage, this is the key for me. Barrel percentage, 86th percentile. K percentage is 34th. Walk percentage is 98th. Another key piece right there. Whiff percentage is 23rd. Chase rate is 35th. Fastball velocity is 46th. Not great. But here's where it changes for Richard Rodriguez and why, if you've watched them both now for their few times with the Braves and watched Rodriguez at all with Pittsburgh, you see that even though everybody knows what's happening, people don't seem to be able to barrel it up or don't seem to be able to do much with it. And that would be because his fastball spin is in the 93rd percentile. He has an incredibly efficient spin rate on his fastball. Like I said, when you throw fastballs, the better, especially four-seams, I should say, is what we're talking about here. When you have high spin rates and great spin efficiency, you're talking about a rising fastball. Richard Rodriguez lives up in the zone with a high spin fastball. That is the perfect pitch in today's game, because especially because he doesn't walk people. He throws strikes, so you have to swing at it. And if you're able to locate in the same portion of the zone up top almost all the time, he'll vary around every once in a while if he feels like somebody's on it. But when you throw at the top of the zone with high spin, you're going to induce a lot of fly balls. Now, he is a fly ball pitcher, but when hitters cannot get on plane with it, they are not going to be able to put everything in it. That's why you'll see them hit balls 105, 106, anything. By the way, 95 miles an hour is the cutoff for a hard hit percentage. So this doesn't tell you exactly what it is. It just tells you that he has more baseballs hit at 95 miles an hour and above than others, which, not that shocking. He throws 93, 94. So it doesn't take a lot for you to hit it harder than that. The difference is, do you have the carry behind it to hit it out? And against Richard Rodriguez this year, you simply don't. The launch angle against him is higher than it's ever been in his career, 24.4%. And that's, you know, obviously because you're trying to meet it up in the zone. The sweet spot percentage is 28%. That's tied with 2018. But here's where things get nice. The real data on him, what he's actually done, has been very good. A 2.47 ERA. His expected ERA is 2.84, which, by the way, is also lower than Will Smith's. When you're looking at data like this, you have to bear in mind that not everyone is going to operate under the same guise. I don't have enough time to really dig into this, man. I really wanted to dig into this a little bit deeper. I might do it again next segment, but for now, I got to take a quick break. We'll come back right after this. You know what? We're going to keep this going. I'm going to take a quick break here. We're going to come back, and we're going to continue talking about this Richard Rodriguez versus Will Smith point. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this here on Locked On Braves. Today's episode of Locked On Braves is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. If you've got a hankering for some sports betting, go to BetOnline.ag. It's worth it, I promise you. If you go to BetOnline.ag, you can find lines on whatever it is that you like to gamble on, whether that's baseball, football, basketball, cricket, horse racing, I don't know. You can find it. If you can think it, you can find it on BetOnline. And it doesn't matter if you're a beginner or if you've been around the game for a very, very long time, as they cater lines to everybody. They don't play any favorites. If you're a betting shark, you can find lines for that. If you are a newbie, if you're a guppy, then you'll find lines especially for you as well. It's very simple, very easy. If you have any questions, their customer service is second to none. And their interface looks really, really cool. Their website looks fantastic. All you got to do is go to betonline.ag, sign up, use the promo code Locked On, and you're going to get a nice surprise when you make that initial deposit. All you got to do to show that you know what you're talking about is go to betonline.ag, sign up, use the promo code Locked On, let them know that we sent you there. Betonline.ag, get in the game with BetOnline. Today's episode is also brought to you by Built Bar, who you guys know. I talk about Built Bar all the time. Why? Because they're delightful. They're delicious. They're fantastic. The perfect protein bar for the modern world. It is a great texture, something that I don't say all that often, unless I'm talking about Built Bar, because it is that out of the ordinary. There is no gas station power bar, I'm telling you. Built Bars are phenomenal. They have a real dedication to making sure they are edible and making sure they have unique flavors and that the protein bar tastes like those unique flavors. If you don't believe me, try them out for yourself. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, and you get a nice little surprise on your shipping. I'm not going to tell you what it is. I want you to go there and use it. Go to Built Bar. Try out all of their different flavors. Build you a box and try a bunch of different flavors. Find the one that you like. I'm partial to the salted caramel. You might be partial to one of the other ones. They've got a number of delicious flavors. All you got to do is go to BuiltBar.com and make your box so you can try as many as you want. And then when you go to checkout, use the promo code LOCK15 and try them out for yourself. Built Bar, building the perfect protein bar. All right, everybody, welcome back to Locked On Braves for our final segment, continuing with our discussion as far as Richard Rodriguez versus Will Smith goes. This is going to come across like I'm attacking some people, but I'm really not. I don't have a problem with Will Smith. I don't think that he's a bad pitcher. I just don't think he is the best option to be closing out games for the Braves. It seems very labored every time you see him. If you are like me, and you think every time you see a man, it seems like he's always dancing in and out of trouble, or he just never looks comfortable, you're not alone. He doesn't have very many clean innings this year. It just seems to be, for him, that even though he's getting the results, it's kind of similar to Mark Melanson a season ago, where, yeah, he's getting the results that you want, and ultimately the results are what matter the most. But you do want somebody who seems a little bit more comfortable. And Smith just does not ever seem to have a comfortable ninth inning. And when you compare him to what we've seen from Rodriguez already as the Braves reliever, it's night and day difference. Rodriguez seems to always be in control. There's been a couple spots here and there where he's allowed a couple runners on, but he's never really looked in real danger. And I think that's important. Now, if you're somebody that doesn't subscribe to the belief that you need a closer, that's a totally different argument. I am perfectly fine with Richard Rodriguez being used as the high leverage guy. I would almost call him a stopper instead of a closer. I'm not a big fan of the closer designation. Although there is this kind of idea that floats around a lot of people that any pitcher can pitch in any spot in a game. And while I don't deny that that should be the case, it isn't the case. Just like there are certain players, like Dansby Swanson, for instance, who don't hit well in certain spots in the order. It affects their mindset. And baseball is just as much, if not more, mental than it is physical. There are some players that do not do well in the high pressure, or even the seemingly high pressure, of pitching in the ninth inning. So that is something to consider. But Rodriguez has already done that. Now, like I just said, if we were to have a bullpen, if we were to have a manager whose thought process was, let me put my best guy in at the most crucial junction of the game to face the most crucial part of the opposing lineup, then I would agree. I wouldn't really care who the designated closer was. I wouldn't really care who finished off the game, as long as it was used where Rodriguez got the highest leverage, followed by Smith or any number of the other relievers. Smith or Martin, probably, or Matzik is kind of working his way back into there. To be perfectly honest, I'm a bigger fan of I think Tyler Matzik is a better reliever than Will Smith. Will Smith is more reliable as far as his command, which is very important, but Tyler Matzik has been very, very good for the last month or so plus anyway, and Tyler Matzik has better stuff. And I think when you break it down, that's my overall issue with Smith being the premier piece of the bullpen, is he just doesn't have elite stuff. It just doesn't. Not especially not with no, I don't want to say for sure that he's using it, but it seems to me, since the sticky substance ban, and you can check his spin rates and they'll back it up, that the stuff just has not been as good as it was before. That's not to say that Will Smith is not a good reliever at all. He's a very good reliever, and somebody that the Braves would do very well if they used him a little bit more liberally. If you weren't so constrained in putting him in the exact same role every single time out there, I don't think you would have this divide on Will Smith in the fandom. But it doesn't mean, but if you've got a guy that's going to subscribe to the notion that you have to have defined roles, then Rodriguez should be the guy who's getting the big role. He's a better pitcher than Will Smith. And by the way, the StatCast data that people kind of jump the gun with as far as pitching, it works in a whole number of aspects. And again, I'm not saying this in any sort of way to insult anybody that looks at it. It's a very easy trap to fall into when you start really digging into the statistics that back up everything the front office has used. We've talked about it earlier in the episode. It's a way for you to feel like you're part of the front office, or at least to understand baseball on a deeper level, the same way that most front offices in baseball do. The problem is we do it with hitters all the time. We look at certain indicators like exit velocity, hard hit percentage, and barrel percentage, and yes, when all of those things are going well, it is a great indicator for success. It's easier, though, when you're talking about broad groups of people, because there are still hitters that defy that, like David Fletcher, for instance. If you were to look at David Fletcher's StatCast data, it's never been very good. He's not a guy that hits the ball exceptionally hard. He doesn't have any real power. He doesn't have a lot of things, but he's a very, very good bat-to-ball guy. He is a specialist, and he is an outlier. And it is important to notate these things when you're speaking about how good or how bad somebody is. Like, when you look at Fletcher's StatCast data, it is not impressive at all. Exit velocity is in the 45th percentile. XWOB is in the 11th. X-slugging is in the 9th. Again, I don't care about X-stats really at all, but if you were to look at his actual WOBA, it's going to be a lot higher. Now, this year hasn't been as good of a year as we've seen from him in previous seasons. Like, this year he's got a 315 WOBA versus 2020 was a 350. But if you just look at his StatCast data, it would tell you, or lead you to think, that he's far outplaying what his number should be. And that's just not really the case. Julio Teheran was one of these guys too. A guy that gives up a lot of contact is generally going to have a higher FIP than anybody that gears towards a lot of strikeouts. That doesn't mean that the guy that gives up more contact isn't a better pitcher. It just means that there are more balls put in play. So there are more opportunities for things to go wrong or for defenders to have to make a really good play. It's important to know that these numbers, they're great in broad strokes, and they really, really do help. You really do need to at least know the basic iterations of them because it is what front offices use. Whether or not you like that brand of baseball, whether or not you think that that's what they should be using, that's what they're using. And so when you follow along with them, you can kind of get in the mind of your front office and know what they're doing. But you always have to bear in mind that no singular statistic and no singular strategy is foolproof. There are outliers everywhere. Baseball is a high variable game. There are more variables in baseball than there are in any other sport. I don't care about football or basketball or whatever. There are more variables in baseball. There are more outcomes that can happen in baseball than in any other sport. So trying to use statistical data of broad strokes across the game, it can give you a general outlier, or it can give you a general outline. But it is not foolproof. It is not the be-all, end-all. You do need a marriage of both. And sometimes we get what I would call players that are kind of like mirages. Guys that by the batted ball data aren't very impressive, but are better players than their batted ball data would indicate. Same for pitchers, where there are guys that are just better pitchers than their raw skill or their raw stuff would indicate. Knowing where to pitch somebody can be just as effective as being able to blow it past somebody. The margin of error is smaller. And in that respect, I can agree, where if you're a guy like Rodriguez who relies so heavily on the fastball, command is of paramount importance. Luckily for Rodriguez, command has not been an issue for him for a couple years now. He's a very, very good pitcher, and he should be closing out the games for the Braves, or really he should be in the highest leverage. I just don't trust Snicker to use the bullpen as far as a leverage down situation. I think he likes to have a linear bullpen where he knows who he's going to in the ninth and then works backwards. The same thing that Chip says nearly every single night, where he talks about, you build your bullpen backwards. That was true in the 90s. It's not so true anymore, except for teams that have managers that kind of hold to those traditional values. It's not always the best method. We've seen a lot of the other great teams in baseball no longer really subscribe to that philosophy. But that's there's not really any point to talking about that in terms of the Braves, because it doesn't happen, and it's probably never going to happen. So advocating for it or lamenting the fact that it's not that way isn't really going to do much good in the face of what actually happens for the Braves. Now, this doesn't mean that Smith can't be very good in the ninth inning. It just means I do think we'll get to a point, just like we did where a couple years ago when Green and Melanson came in. Green was the closer for a while until it came out that Melanson was a better pitcher, as I thought he would be when we made the deal. I think you'll see the same thing with Rodriguez. I think Rodriguez, by the time the end of the year is done, Rodriguez will be the guy that Snicker goes to when he needs to close out the game, and I think the Braves will be better for it. So, as we get ready to start this series versus the Reds, important to note that the Phillies will be taking on the Dodgers, so it's a good chance for the Braves here to make some headway. You're going to have to take on a couple of really good pitchers for the Reds. You've got to deal with some of their big bopping lineups, but the Braves do have a real possibility here. By the time we're doing this show next week, the Braves have a real possibility of being in first place. So I'm going to go ahead and end the show for today. Hopefully you guys enjoy it, and we can get ready to watch the Braves wax the Cincinnati Reds. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. We will be back again tomorrow right here on Locked On Braves.